Earlier today, Lakota Chairman Mick Isham gave this year's State of the Tribes address at the Wisconsin State Capitol. It was streamed live on WPR.org, and you can listen to the archived audio there as well. In this, the 12th of these annual addresses, Isham brought up several issues of importance to Wisconsin's Native population, including a recent proposal to allow for the excavation of Native burial mounds and what he sees as the erosion of the state's natural resources.
Joining us now to give impressions of the address, we have Janice Rice and Patty Lowe. Janice, member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, outreach coordinator for the College Library at UW-Madison until her recent retirement, past president of the American Indian Library Association, and she served as archivist for the Ho-Chunk people. Also with us, Patty Lowe, professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences Communication, where she teaches digital storytelling. She's an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe and an affiliated faculty with the American Indian Studies Program. She's written books on the Native American experience and history in Wisconsin. So thanks to both of you for joining us. And Patty, let's start with you. Can you describe, as laid out in the speech, how we heard about the relationship between the tribes of Wisconsin and the state government?
Yeah, as the speech unfolded, I was reminded of the Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It had that flow of, okay, here, let's be positive in the beginning and talk about all the places where we, you know, have this sort of kumbaya relationship. And then it worked up to the environmental issues where the tribes and the state obviously disagree. And then he brought it back to, you know, we have this relationship, we have these processes and these organizations and committees that we can work through for the mutual benefit of both Native and non-Native people in Wisconsin.
And Patty, a theme through this was kind of myths and misconceptions versus reality of Wisconsin's tribes. And one key theme he kept coming back to is this is not a historical holdover. This is not a part of Wisconsin's past. This is today.
Right. And I think he made the point quite clearly that the tribes are economic generators in this state. The 11 federally recognized tribes generate more than $1 billion in revenue to the state. And by local, he made the point that unlike some of the big box stores, the tribes in their counties buy from local vendors. And that drew one of the many standing ovations that he got during his speech.
And Janice, let's bring you in on this now. Patty was telling us in this speech we heard about the positives of how the state can work together with the tribes, but also some of the challenges. Looking long term, do you see improvements? Do you see the tribes and the state more able to cooperate than maybe they were, I don't know, 12 years ago when we first started having these annual addresses?
I see progress because I can see the difference already in some of the partnerships that have happened, and then even more people being to articulate what those partnerships have been and continue to be. And some of the things I see, just not being a person from northern Wisconsin, I see it more readily when I step in and I see what's there, some of the improvements and some of the things that they talked about in the high school that are happening in Lakota Ray with the superintendent who's making such a difference with being able to cooperate with the school and let the football teams team up, players from the LCO school be with the high school team and play football together. And just some things that you never would have seen, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, many years ago, you would not have seen that. So that's just one example of what I'm seeing of the partnerships that are working. And I think they're seeing each other as citizens and real people, and that they're teaming up together. So I hope I can see more of that along the way.
Well, that reminds me, in the State of the Tribes address, we heard in some ways that, hey, the problems we're all talking about in Wisconsin, they're problems for tribes, they're problems for everybody else. And one thing he was referring to was prescription drug addiction and talking about how, yeah, that's an everybody problem here. And that was a place he saw future partnership, changing some rules, some red tape in some ways, that the same things we can do at the state level could be done at the tribal level.
I agree. I see that he's involving many, he as well as other tribal leaders are involving the leadership that they have within their own clinics and the different social services agencies, because they are filling those positions with own tribal members who understand the culture and the language of the people. Plus, they can speak the language of the partners in the county and in the state. So they're all speaking the same language, and I think that's starting to make a difference because they're understanding one another better than they had before. So I'm starting to see that partnership evolve because the social services agencies have to deal with it, as well as the healthcare institutions on the reservations and in the counties as well, and out there in the communities.
We're talking about today's State of the Tribes address delivered at the Capitol by Lakota Ray Chairman Mick Isham. We have Patty Lowe and Janice Rice with us to talk about it. Now, we've been talking about cooperation here. One issue that flared up and went away, at least for the time being, was this proposal to make it easier for property owners, Patty, to develop on mounds, burial mounds.
Right.
And that got nipped in the bud. Mick Isham saying, for now, and this is something we need to be vigilant about. So what kind of message was he sending there?
Well, I think they were saying that on environmental issues, and Janice, maybe I think you probably would agree with me, even though it was perceived to be a Ho-Chunk issue, he was sending the message that, look, when it comes to environmental protection, whether it's cultural protection of burial mounds of a particular tribe, or whether it's clean air, clean water, or chronic wasting disease, he talked about that a bit. But the message was, we are all standing together on this. And I think that was loud and clear. And I think that one of the things that he articulated quite well is the role of tribes as environmental stewards. We're the ones whose communities eat the food that is coming out of our lakes and rivers. We're the ones that are consuming the wild rice. We eat more venison than anyone else. We're picking more berries. And so we're the ones that, you know, whose livelihoods, whose health and livelihoods are really on the line. So trust us when we tell you we're seeing changes, or trust us when we're telling you that we know ways that we can do things better and protect these resources for everyone.
And that was another case where it sounded like he was saying, hey, this is something that this has been a point of conflict in the past, especially when you think of fishing, spear fishing, fishing for subsistence versus sport fishing. He's saying, however you fish and however you hunt, we're all using the same land here. We all have the same interest in it. So, again, do you see room, Janice, for the kind of environmental partnership and that stewardship that Patty was talking about?
I see a future where we can cooperate, and it seems like they already have, especially with Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Commission, some of the things that have already opened up way back when and then have continued to evolve. And then we're getting more young people that are getting degrees in these areas, younger people from our reservation. So I think those partnerships are going to continue to grow, and we're going to have more people with expertise in those areas, the young ones today. And so I'm really pleased to see more of the young people coming to these things and paying attention to what their tribal leaders are saying. So I have hope.
And rather than spending all of our time and resources in court fighting about who gets the last fish, let's improve the resource and make sure there's enough fish for everyone.
And another point that I hadn't necessarily expected to see, a redistricting of legislative districts in Wisconsin. I've heard people in small towns complain, like, hey, you just redistricted us in half. Well, he's saying, I think he was talking about the Lakota Ray there. They got redistricted. This is something that people might not think of as a Native American issue in particular, Patty.
But it's an issue for everyone in the state, but it's an issue when, especially when that particular reservation leans toward one party or the other, when an area gets redistricted, it makes a difference politically. And he also made the point that Native Americans are voting in numbers like they've never voted before. We're seeing tribal members run for county board positions and city council positions. And what that means, if it follows the way the political process usually works, is those people then run for a state office or a federal office. That's where the political engagement begins, at those local levels.
And that was a really interesting point, too. He had said, hey, we're not non-voters, and we're not Democratic voters. He listed Democrats and Republicans. He said, we're constituents. You come, you talk to us, you do what we want, and then maybe you get our vote. Do you think that legislators have been thinking that way and responding that way, Janice?
I don't think they necessarily have, but for the few events that I've gone to, the legislators have said the other thing to me: you don't come to my stuff. This is the first time I'm hearing them say, "Well, they got to come to us too." So I guess it is a two-way street. So I think if some of those doors are opened a little more widely, I think that would make a difference.
I was just going to say at the root of all of this is this notion of Act 31 being an important springboard to teach everyone in the state about Wisconsin Indian history, treaty rights, sovereignty. So regardless of where or what issue we wind up talking about, whether it's health and welfare, whether it's environmental issues, whether it's, we have some basis of understanding. And that mandate may not be exercised evenly throughout the state, but it has created a basis of understanding.
Well, I hope we can talk to you about more of these issues in the future. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
That's Janice Rice and Patty Lowe. We've been talking about today's State of the Tribes Address. You can hear the whole thing at WPR.org.